Now, as part of this week's Wellness Wednesday, we are going to speak to Naomi Fitzgibbon, Director of Nursing and Services with the Irish Motor Neuron Disease Association, about motor neuron disease and the Irish Motor Neuron Disease Association's annual campaign, Voice for MND. Naomi, good morning to you. Thank you so much for your time.
Good morning, Greg. Thank you for inviting us on.
I think public awareness of motor neuron disease has increased greatly in the last number of years, but still we all have something to learn. So can you describe to us motor neuron disease and the impact it has on an individual?
Sure, Greg. And it is, the awareness has been raised, but there's still a lot of work to do. What happens with motor neuron disease is that really the nerves stop working properly, and that affects every organ, every limb, everything in your body. It's a slow progressing disease for some people, but it can be quite fast in other people. So some people might notice a change in their voice, and that's why we're doing this campaign, is really to highlight the change, particularly in people's voice. So their voice might become a little bit slurred. It might become, a little bit difficult to speak. Swallow can change. You know, people's limbs, you know, may not work as they did. People might notice pins and needles. People might notice a little weakness in their leg, trips and falls. There's many, many different signs and symptoms of motor neuron disease. So it's not an easy disease to diagnose, unfortunately, and that is the difficulty in it. It's not like other diseases where you get one, two, three, and four different things, and that means you have that particular disease. Motor neuron is very subtle. It takes a long time to diagnose, and that is very, very difficult for people.
So does that mean it's almost like a process of elimination before you're left with motor neuron disease, rather than being specifically able to identify it?
Pretty much, Greg. That's unfortunately what happens. People will go to, maybe it's, you know, something wrong with they're going to an osteopath or a physiotherapist to see what's wrong with the weakness in their leg, or maybe they think that the slurring of the speech is to do with something to do with their brain. So it all of those things have to be outruled, of course, which is really important to make sure that it is nothing else. But then unfortunately it kind of boils down to, well, these are the symptoms and this may lead to a diagnosis of motor neuron disease, which will happen in various tests specifically will be done, and people will be then referred to either Beaumont Hospital or their local hospital to get a diagnosis.
In terms of those who may get MND, is there are there indicators or things that make people, you know, more susceptible to it? Is there going to be passed from one person to another? That type of stuff. I don't hear that talked about too much.
It is. They say that about 15% of motor neuron disease can be genetic. So that means that it can pass down through the family. It doesn't mean that somebody is going to get it. Mm-hmm. It means that there's a higher risk for those people. And there's a huge amount of research being done into the genetics, but at the moment it's really at kind of the early stages, and unfortunately there isn't much treatment for those people who have those genes. For the 80%, 85% in the rest of the population, there's no known cause. It's really very unusual. It's people don't know, and that's where the really important piece of research is being done in Ireland, but also abroad in the world. And Professor Hardman in Beaumont Hospital is very involved in research in Europe and in the States. So that she keeps an eye on all of that.
Obviously, you know, with the amazing work that Charlie Bird did and others, I became aware of many people in Donegal with MND. You could be forgiven for thinking that it's on the increase, or it's more prevalent than we thought in the past. Or is it that high profile people, you know, and we'll get on to the voice, and it's a fine pun, but is it that the likes of that gave people the voice to sort of talk more about it, or say, actually, that's what happened to my dad, and I want to talk about it as well?
That is true. Charlie Bird, very high profile, not afraid to speak out and speak about his journey. and how it was for him. And not a lot of people wanted to talk about it publicly at all. But what he wanted to do was he raised vital funds for us and for Pieta House, but he also raised awareness of what it's like to live with motor neurone disease. Mm. So that did encourage people to talk
about
their
disease. Yeah, because we did see the progression of his disease, didn't we, really?
Very difficult,
and he talked an awful lot. Sorry, go ahead, Naomi.
No, he did. And he was very open about it. And he was open about, you know, the struggles that he was having, how it affected him, his whole family, his wife, Claire. He really talked quite openly. And that is something that does happen. There is no one type. There's not one type of MND either. There's a few different types. Mm-hmm. So Charlie Bird had one type of MND, and that really did affect his voice, and it progressed quite quickly. There are other types that are slower. So it's not... That is the difficulty with it as well. We take each individual, we look at them, we need to see what their supports are and how we can support them as an organisation.
But the focus of this campaign is on voice deterioration. 80% of people with MND experience voice deterioration, which obviously has a significant impact on their day-to-day lives.
Mm-hmm. It is. And it is, you know, some people will start off with their voice being affected straight away. And potentially could lose their voice quite quickly. And that's really what we want to highlight. And that's, you know, part, that's why this Voice for MND campaign, it's to raise awareness. If you are having problems with speech, you know, obviously get it checked out. If you are diagnosed with motor neurone disease and you're starting to notice changes in your voice, there are things that we can do. So it's getting in touch with your MND nurse. They'll probably be talking about it to you anyway around your speech and what to do to preserve your speech. And we are lucky enough to be able to fund voice banking and other voice repair and Speak Unique, which is a voice banking repair and banking your voice. It's only
Familiar sayings, or, you know, we do repeat quite a lot, but it means that you can express that in your own voice.
Well, what Speak Unique does, it's very particular, built for people with MND, and we're the only country outside of the UK that has it available to us at the moment. And what you do is somebody with MND, they read a book of 20 minutes, 30 minutes long, and it records your voice so that it has your voice, your own inclination, your personal voice versus a more kind of computerized voice. It's really, really important that people are able to maintain that, the personality in their voice, that it is their voice that they're able to use when they're speaking to people through the electronic systems that they use.
And of course, there's a MND storyline on Coronation Street at the moment, and a lot of the focus on that is the voice deterioration, which presumably is helpful. The more eyes and ears on this issue, the better.
Absolutely. I mean, it's you know, and that's why, you know, that this campaign is important, is that people understand what it is like for somebody with MND, you know, to lose their voice. There's a lot of, you know, misunderstanding. If somebody has slurred speech, you know, people would think, oh, well, maybe they're on some drugs, or they're taking, or they've had too much to drink. And that does happen. And that is really, we want to dispel those myths, is to make people aware that it may not be somebody, obviously may have different issues with their voice as well, but it might be MND, and to take that into consideration and give people time to explain and not presume the worst of somebody when they are having difficulties with their voice.
And I wonder, as part of this survey, 93% of respondents stated that voice deterioration affects their social interactions, the majority indicating it makes social situations uncomfortable, and 4 out of 10 avoid social situations altogether due to this issue. Is that how they feel, rather than being unable to function in these environments? In other words, they will avoid them because of maybe the judgment, maybe people's lack of patience in listening to them. Do you know what I mean? So they possibly could continue in these social situations, but choose not to because of the voice deterioration.
And that's correct. And it is different for everybody. Some people, you know, find that, you know, they feel embarrassed. They find it a struggle. It's too much to try and explain to people and puts them in a difficult situation. So they opt out of that. And other people don't. So it's very much up to the individual. But I think, and that's why we highlight this campaign, you know, to make other people aware, to give people time, let them understand what the problem is with their voice, and give them the opportunity to take the time, if they have to use voice amplification, if they have to use apps, if they have to use Speak Unique, is that they give people that time and not just disregard them as having, you know, maybe had too much to drink. So we really want to encourage people to give people time. And that's part of the, you know, part of the campaign, you know, is to, you know, to raise the awareness around, you know, people losing their voices, to get a group together, you know, stay silent for 30 minutes and see how you get on and see what it's like to be not able to communicate with somebody and how that actually affects you and how it affects your interaction with other people and what that is like, to give you, I suppose, a very little insight into what it's like for somebody living with motor neuron disease.
There's no cure currently for motor neuron disease. You know, a two-part question. Firstly, I suppose, is there any progress in that regard? But secondly, there are treatments that will work for some people, because MND, as you mentioned, it affects the individual from person to person, really, to a lot of in a lot of cases. But do you think we're heading towards some sort of a cure or early indicators? And B, what are the treatments like to help manage the symptoms or indeed slow the progression?
Excuse me. So with the research, there are no cures at the moment, as you say. There's incredible research being done, being led by, we're very lucky to have Professor Hardiman in Ireland leading the charge there and across Europe. So she works internationally. So what they are looking at is very, very much around the genetics, you know, what is causing it. They're trying to find the cause. So then once they find the causes, they can start to look towards treatments. Unfortunately, there is not, you know, much in the way of treatment. And what we do now is you treat the causes. So, for example, if it's with voice, the voice banking, if it's weakness in legs, what can you do? Is it physiotherapy, you know, or the supports, you know, all of the mobility issues that occur, you know, what is the issue? And then that is treated as opposed to we can't treat the cause yet because we don't know what's actually causing MND. So it's very complex, but there is hope and the research is being done. And, you know, we're very lucky in Ireland to have such expertise as well.
Yeah.
Within Beaumont Hospital and CUH and around the country as well. And Letterkenny, they do an incredible job, and the community, of looking after people with MND. And our nurses are very much linked in with the community team to support anybody in Donegal who has MND.
Some of the symptoms of MND may or may not be present. Generally, though, they do start gradually and worsen over time. And this is not to startle anyone, because there's a lot of crossover between the common symptoms of MND and other things as well. MND is rare, but it is there. So people need to note if they have a weakness in the arms, legs or both, muscle wasting and shrinkage, muscle cramps and stiffness, difficulty speaking, swallowing or breathing, changes in thinking and behaviour. So effectively, some of them, all of them, none of them may or may not be present. There could be other things, but the earlier you get a diagnosis, presumably the better. And also then, if it comes to a point whereby you are going to be using technology, presumably the earlier as well that you voice bank and what have you, the better. But don't ignore it, Naomi. That's the message anyway. And as I say, it's likely to be something else, but you can't make that determination yourself.
Absolutely. And that, unfortunately, is the difficulty with motor neuron disease. It is hard to diagnose, but absolutely, you know, speak to your GP about it and concerns and get the referral in. And, you know, GPs and consultants will do their absolute utmost. And it is hard to diagnose as well. And that can be very difficult to get the diagnosis. And then when it happens, when people link in with us, we are here to support them from the very moment of diagnosis for as long as we're needed.
All right, too. And I suppose families need support as well, because, you know, it can just rip the rug under everyone. You know,
absolutely.
And I've spoken to, it's amazing that, do you know, the strength and resilience of young people. We talk about them not sometimes having enough of that, but in the face of a crisis, I've spoke to some amazing young people, even after they've lost their father, in the cases for me, they advocate on their behalf and they speak with such strength. I find it amazing, but I suppose there is all the supports do for those around a person with a motor neuron disease diagnosis.
Yeah, and it does. And that's what people who are diagnosed say, and we know this from, you know, speaking to people every day of the week, is that it affects everybody, not just the person with the motor neuron disease, it's the whole family. And we're very aware of that. And we did some research last year with people who are living with MND, their families. And we have started a carers program, and we've completed two courses of that. The next one will be in September. And we're looking to, you know, create more supports for people living with motor neuron disease and their families. And that is one. And then we will have a, you know, later on in the year, we have our conference coming up. That's going to be in Dundalk on the 4th and 5th of October. And people will be able to come and meet each other, and we will have education and support for people at that. We also provide counselling, free counselling through, you know, the local counsellors for people and their families with MND. So if anybody does need that extra psychological support, they can get in touch with their MND nurse or directly with MND Ireland, and we will provide that support for them.
Listen, thank you very much for that. I really do appreciate it. If people want more information and to get more details on the Motor Neuron Disease Association's annual campaign, which is Voice for MND, where can they go?
If they go to the website, they can get all of the information on there. So that is www.imnda.ie. And all of the information, any ideas around fundraising, because we get 85% of our fundraising is from people who are living with MND, or, as you were saying, families who support the organisation. And it's really important, because that's the funds that we put back into our services to support people with MND and their families.
Okay, listen, have a wonderful day. Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it. That was Wellness Wednesday, and that was Naomi Fitzgibbon, who is the Director of Nursing and Services with the Irish Motor Neuron Disease Association. Their annual campaign this year is Voice for MND. If you have anything you wish to say about that, let us know, please. 086 60 25000. That is the WhatsApp and text number. Or feel free to give us a call as well if you want to do that. It's 074 91 25000. Now, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show here in Highland Radio. We're switching gears and we're talking about athletics, because a remarkable achievement occurred over the last 24 hours. And it's our own Mark English setting a new Irish record and qualifying for his third Olympic Games. His time, his 800 metres time, 1 minute 44.69 seconds. This was in Finland. Patsy McGonigal is former Olympic team manager with Irish Athletics, is with us now. Patsy, good morning to you, first and foremost, of course.
Good morning, Greg.
What a remarkable achievement. Put it into context for us.
Well, a remarkable achievement, of course, on so many levels. I mean, first of all, let's look at it. This is the third Olympic Games. If right were right away back in the London Olympics, he would have been selected for that as well. It would have been his fourth Olympic Games, believe it or not. But the reality is it will be his third Olympic Games. And that in with the background that he has in terms of university, qualifying as a doctor, and dealing with all the elements of that, and also qualifying for the Olympic Games once again, is absolutely unbelievable, you know, achievement. And on this occasion in Turku last night, in a world-class field, he's right up there on the finish line with the Swedish guy Kramer, who also is a world-class athlete, and he gets an Irish record. He breaks his own Irish record, actually, and he gets that Olympic qualifying time. So you can imagine the excitement and the delight when we got that news, and we watched it on the stream here live. So it was very exciting.
Now, I mean, obviously, at the very highest level, percentages is so important, and eking out every little bit of an advantage you can. So the significance of the 0.02 is significant in and of itself. In terms of an 800 metres athlete, at 31 years of age, where might he be sort of in his peak, if you know what I mean, traditionally speaking?
You know... Yes, I understand what you're saying. You know, you would imagine you would have imagined, and I would have imagined, I have to honestly say, that he would have had difficulty retaining and improving his speed over his 800 metres as he got into the 30s. Now, that has been blown away by this performance last night. And, you know, that in itself is something else. But generally speaking, come into the 30s, you would imagine his basic speed, his real speed would decrease. But obviously, he has, in many ways, has the experience, et cetera, in his favour of 10, 15 years pretty much at world-class level. So, you know, it's a combination of many things, and that's where it all happened for him last night. And, you know, even his racing tactics last night were absolutely unbelievable. So, you know, that's experience as well.
Are we at a high in Irish athletics at the moment, Patsy, do you think?
Oh, absolutely, Greg. We're at an all-time high in terms of just the recent European Championships. And that's something we've got to keep a wee eye on as well. Of course, we're at an all-time high. We had an unbelievable championships. And we have some exciting athletes going forward to the Olympic Games. But we've got to put that into perspective. The European Championships were the European Championships. The Olympic Games is a global event. It's an absolutely off-the-radar event. And we've got to retain some perspective in terms of the athletes that are now travelling onwards from Europeans, you know.
And such is the level of competition at the Olympics. And Mark is not going there to make up the numbers. I'm absolutely confident of that. But to qualify for the Olympics and to do it not once or twice, but three times, it really is a remarkable achievement for an individual.
It certainly is. Just for an individual, you know, just per se, it's an absolutely unbelievable achievement. To retain the desire, you know, to go again, that's special. That's absolutely special. But he is a special athlete. He's the greatest athlete we have ever produced out of Donegal. And, you know, he continually has been running and indeed medalling at European level. I mean, he's 4 European Championship medals. And that, in the Irish context, is a big achievement. You know, when he looks back at his career and he counts the medals and counts his achievements, that in itself. But records, qualified for the Olympics, the standard that he's maintained, the attitude that he's maintained, the respect that he has in the sport, that's a big story.
Yes. And not to mention all the other stuff he'd be at as well, as if he wouldn't be busy enough, it makes it so remarkable. And you know what's not measurable, but it's inevitable, is the inspiration he'll provide to others to get involved in this sport. Because if you see, you want to be it. And as I say, that can be a little bit sometimes hard to measure. But I have no doubt there'll be someone else from Donegal in you know, 14, 16 years' time that will say, well, I watched Mark English at the Olympics and I decided I want to be Mark English. And that's another amazing thing. Hopefully it puts the fire in the belly of a new generation coming forward.
That's interesting, you know, because just 30 minutes after that performance last night, I was down in Fenton Valley for training and there was about maybe 100 young athletes and I pulled them all together and they wouldn't have been aware of the performance, you know, because it was just so soon. And I said, just remember tonight that one of your club athletes has achieved and qualified for the Olympic Games. Maybe sometime in your later life you will remember this night and it will inspire you to do something and to be inspired to stay in the sport, to keep going, whatever it may be. But exactly making the point that you just made, inspiring the next generation.
Brilliant stuff. And you've your role in that as well, of course, Patsy, in bringing them through. Thank you so very much indeed. That's a legend of athletics and sport in Donegal himself there, Patsy McGonagall. I think we can all agree on that. Former Olympic team manager with Irish athletics, but just marking the remarkable achievement. Mark English, he reduced the Irish record for the 800 metres by 0.02 seconds. That's the margins we're talking about. 1 minute, 44.69 seconds in Turku in Finland. He is off to the Olympics again. All right, okay, we'll be talking business in a moment. Stay where you are.
Business Matters on Highland Radio is brought to you by local enterprise office Donegal. If you have an idea to start or grow your business within Donegal, contact the local enterprise office team to find out more about the supports available for businesses. See localenterprise.ie/Donegal.
Okay, the Highland Radio Business Matters podcast is going live for you today, and we'll remind you at the end of this item that it's broadcast on the radio for you after 6 o'clock, and the recent listenership figures show that more of you are listening to it on the radio as well, which is always encouraging. Chris Ashmore is its presenter. He's in studio with me now. Good morning to you, Christopher.
Good morning, Greg.
How are you getting on?
I'm getting on very well.
That's good. Cost of living survey out. Let's get to some news first. What's going on there?
Yeah, just this was brought out by Ernst & Young, and I know you're a big fan of all these surveys.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, almost two-thirds of Irish respondents remain concerned about the cost of living. No surprise there. It showed that about 48% of people are willing to switch to private labels and cheaper versions of high-end brands. And also, there's a move, a trend towards people more interested in discounts and vouchers that are offered by the supermarkets, which may tie in with something that we're talking about later on.
Sure, so, any which way you can save a few bob.
Yeah, exactly. So that just to note that.
All right, I was chatting to Kieran Kelly. He's an author. He's got a book here now, and it all started in lockdown. And the next story is along those lines too.
Yes, nice little article in the Ulster Herald this week about a Tyrone man living in New York who turned a lockdown project into one of the most popular Irish food delivery services in the United States. Niall Boyle from Berra and his business partner Noel Kieran from County Clare. Well, they founded a company called the Irish Breakfast Box. And basically, it delivers Irish fries directly to customers' doors.
Or the ingredients.
Yeah, the whole shebang. Now, let me just give you some more details. What happened was...
I'm starving. I don't think I want any more details.
Yeah, they tested it out and they got the ingredients from a butcher in New York, and then the teas, the beans, the breads, they were imported from Ireland. It's all organic and kind of one thing
like
led to another. I do.
Heinz or Bachelors?
Both.
No, I used to be Heinz.
Yeah, I probably do eat Bachelors
more. They're more salty and saucy. Mm-hmm.
And they're Irish.
Ah, yeah, canned
in Ireland. Yes.
Yeah, or they're canned in Ireland. The beans can be coming from anywhere. Yes. Did you see the British Spuds? There's a bag of, where is that picture of British Spuds? A councillor from the Westmeath column, I think, got quite... I don't know what he said. I didn't read the post. I don't mean that in a way disrespectful. But it is, it's Irish, British spuds.
But they're being packed.
But no, I think they're actually Donegal spuds. But, you know, repackaged as British spuds. So you've got Donegal and a Union Jack on the same bag. My word, you can't have that. But, like, that's not unusual. I don't think all the pizzas that we eat or buy are cooked in Italy and sent over here. And
indeed,
I'm not sure,
they are not.
Not sure Foster's is brewed in America and... A lot of that's done under license. I don't know. I look at it. It doesn't bother me. I think if they are Donegal spuds, and who cares how they're being packaged? Fantastic for Donegal farmers. But anyway, I don't know what the story is.
Well, that's the
Why
whole
did I
label,
bring that up?
The whole labelling debate. You could
right,
do
so,
a show on that.
Oh yeah, I started with the beans.
Yeah.
You are Bachelors or Heinz?
Oh, Bachelors. Yeah,
bacon sandwich, red or brown sauce?
Oh, red.
Sausages, red or brown sauce?
Oh, red.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I'm red sauce bacon, brown sauce sausage. Right. There you go. Anyway, sorry.
Okay.
What's happening up in June 25th?
Yeah, June 25th. Now, Mentors Work. This is a government-funded mentoring program. They're hosting a webinar, which will be called E-Commerce Mastery Summit. Elevate your digital sales. Expand your online reach. That's a bit of a mouthful. But the bottom line is here, it's... the keynote speaker is Amy Connolly. People may know she was the founder and CEO of Sculpted by Amy, which has been a really successful cosmetics brand set up here in Ireland, but also on the webinar. And this is what a lot of people may find very interesting. As you are no doubt aware, Greg, there is an Amazon.ie platform coming to Ireland. So this is going to give people just an insight, because a lot of Irish businesses could be selling their goods and services through Amazon.ie. So it's mentorsworklive.ie if you want to register for that, because this will mean access to a wider audience. So there will be opportunities there. So that's a webinar on the 25th of June from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. mentorsworklive.ie.
And is there else coming up we should know about before we talk about the pod?
Yeah, a couple of things coming up. There's an online trading or a trading online workshop through the local enterprise office. This is about getting a voucher that you can get to help offset the costs of things like setting up a website. That's on the 10th of July. You can go to your local enterprise office for more details on that. And also just to remind people that the Letterkenny Chamber Business Awards, the closing date for entries to nominate people there is the 1st of July.
Right, OK. So talk to me about the podcast this week.
OK, double dose. First of all, one of Europe's leading medical aesthetics clinics is opening up here in Donegal, creating in the region of 20 jobs. Therapy Clinic is investing €1 million in a new clinic in Letterkenny, which will be based in the Letterkenny Retail Park. So it's going to offer a wide range of non-surgical treatments for the skin and body. And I've been speaking with the CEO, Philip McGlade, to find out more about it.
So Therapy is a family-run Irish business. It's set up by my father 22 years ago. Today we have over 75 clinics in Ireland, the UK and America. So we employ around 1,500 people. So we'd be the largest aesthetic and medical clinic in Ireland, but also in the UK. And last year we expanded into the US and we're currently rolling out stores throughout the US at the moment. So obviously Donegal is an area that we've been looking after for a while. So we've got massive interest from the kind of clients from Donegal asking us to open up in Donegal. So we finally did it and we'll be opening now in July in Letterkenny. So we offer a range of treatments. Our most popular treatments would be services such as laser hair removal, Botox and fillers. We offer also offer a range of skin services and body treatments. So we've got a full range of aesthetic needs for the people of Donegal.
All right. More from Philip McGlade in the podcast. Also in the podcast, an interesting one.
Yeah, now most of us like to save money on purchases, maybe grab a bargain, get your value for money. And there's a new app that could prove to have considerable appeal. It's a price comparison shopping list app. It's called Savvy Spender. It was launched recently and the man behind it is Buncrana native Stephen Harvey, who's been developing it for the past year or so. He came back from Australia. Definitely noticed the cost of living rising over here and set about doing this. And essentially the aim is to enable people to better plan their weekly shop to maximize savings. And I've been speaking to him about the business and what it entails.
Until now, Savvy Spender has been a website that provides money saving tips and also aggregates merchant offers and discounts. However, just over a month ago, we've just launched an app. So the Savvy Spender app, it aims to help users to better plan their weekly shopping to maximize their savings at the supermarkets. So users, whenever they go into the app, they can compare the price of a single item, or they can create a list and compare the full list and compare the price across the supermarkets. The app also lets users use their list as an in-store shopping list. It has the advantage that you can make it your shopping list and you can see how much it's going to cost before you go into the shop. So that makes it a bit easier to stick to budget and also avoid impulse buys.
Yeah. Oh, I like impulse buys, but I take the point. Maybe I shouldn't like them so much. So I had a look at the app and I went for, just clicked in, a mugshot pasta, tomato and herb, 64 grams. Low fat, apparently, too. You have that information. There's no listing for Aldi. They might not stock it. For Don's, €1. Super Value, £1.49. Tesco, £1.19. So a 50-cent saving there, potentially speaking.
So with the app, what you can do is you can basically build your shopping list. Now, of course, you are not going to go to Don's for 4 items, dash over to Tesco for 3 items, back over to Lidl, back over to Aldi. But if you have your shopping list, you go through, you can find out. A lot of people will do maybe just one main shop for the week.
It's interesting with the club cards thing, right? Sorry, Chris. Yeah. Because Heinz tomato soup, cup soup, it's £1.50 in Dunn's, right? It's £1.50 in Tesco, but that's a club card price.
So you're
getting the club card and you think, okay, I'm getting a bit off that, £1.50. But actually, it's the same price without a club card in Dunn's. So.
Yeah, no, I mean, the prices do vary quite a bit. And on the app, it's quite, you know, stark, really. It gives you the comparison, so it's very easy to follow. And one of the things that he also has tips, he has a website already established, and there's tips on how you save money. And as you alluded to there, that the impulse buying, you, particularly our German discount retailers, you go in for a loaf of bread and some milk, and you come out with a hammer and a lawnmower.
That's
and,
why I go in there.
You know.
That's
so
exactly
you're getting a bargain, but you are spending more than you...
Goodfellas stone baked thin margarita pizza, 345 grams. This would be a nightmare to keep updated, and you could. But anyway, I presume AI or something might help. $2.99 in Aldi, $4.19 in Dunn's, and $2.99 in Tesco. So yeah, probably don't stock that one. But in Dunn's, you can buy 2 for €6, so that brings it down to €3. So you have to get two to get it for the same price as Aldi. That's the kind of. I mean, listen. At the end of the day, whether it informs where people go or not, certainly handy for creating a list. But, you know, as I say, it's going to be of interest. But you can download that from the Play Store on Google. And I presume it's available on iPhone. Right, okay.
Savvy Spender,
stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the name says it all.
I don't know how that came across on the radio. Were you talking while I was sitting looking at the app? I was
engrossed.
Were you?
Yeah,
maybe
I mean,
was
you,
like a minute of
we
dead
started
air.
Off with red sauce earlier. I think it's. Was,
I
don't know what's going on
I'm
today.
Not gonna lie to you, I just would not trust a person who eats sausages with red sauce. It would be a red flag for me. I just wouldn't trust you, Chris.
Do you put a bit of mustard in if you're having a BLT or something?
Well, yeah, mustard is very misunderstood.
Dijon or English?
Well, Dijon's not really mustard, I would argue. What I find is that if you get a sandwich prepared for you and you want mustard on it, pretty much I'd do it with a beef sandwich. Often people don't eat mustard, so they put it on like mayonnaise. Do you know what I mean? So you have to say just a little bit of mustard, please. Right, okay. Business Matters podcast available right now. And also it's on the radio, as I say, on Sunday just after the 6 o'clock news. And if anyone wants to contact you or feedback or anything like that, Chris?
Yes, you can email me on businessmatters@highlandradio.com.
Gurmai Hugger, I bought a pack of Jacob's cream crackers for €1.75, advertised on one sign, and €2 on another. They charged me €2 at the till. My God, that's crackers, isn't it? Man. Okay. Listen, thanks very much for that, Chris. We'll be back with more after these. Ailish Robb is a sister-in-law of Olivia Robb, who was diagnosed with MND, and Ailish joins us on the show now. How are you getting on, Ailish?
I'm not so bad, Greg, thank you.
What do you want to talk about? I think it's important that you get to say whatever you want to say rather than me trying to lead it in any particular direction with questions. I'll take the lead from you, Ailish. Do you want to talk about Olivia's diagnosis?
Yes, I certainly can. Basically, Olivia was officially diagnosed in January with motor neuron disease, has deteriorated quite rapidly on us, so much so that she is completely and utterly debilitated now. She can't do anything for herself. She has been nursed. She needs nursing 24 hours, which has been done and is being done by mainly her husband, Brendan, who is just a farmer and an outside man. So he has taken on the role of nursing his wife, and he's doing an excellent job. But Greg, at this stage, we are crying for help.
Yeah.
So we cannot get the help that Olivia needs now at this stage.
It's 24-hour care, isn't it? Sorry, no. Olivia requires 24-hour care now, an awful lot to expect of one individual supported by family.
Absolutely. It's a nightmare now at this stage. Brendan has done his best, but he's maxed. He's completely maxed now. Yeah. At this stage, we need two carers to come in the morning, get Olivia up. It's hoisting now. Get her up, get her washed, get her dressed, get her up and out. Somebody has to be with Olivia all the time because of her wants and needs. I mean, you're talking, she can't even scratch her nose. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how desperate the whole situation is. We've been trying to get carers, and she's not entitled to them, Greg, because she's under the age of 65. Mm-hmm. Olivia is only 48 years of age. And apparently, because she is under the age of 65, then she isn't entitled to home help to come in 3 times a day like anybody elderly or anybody like cancer patients that's older or from the age of 65 older that can receive. Mm-hmm. We are involved with a very nice girl, Joanne Dowd, who is the physical intensity department. Apparently, her job is to take on, you know, patients under the age of 65. Mm-hmm. And try and get them the help needed, but we are not being offered anything like the help you would get if you were in the over 65 category. So the most that we have been offered and the most that we have got is 8 hours, which is 8 hours from two girls, and they split it, and it's 1 hour each, 1 hour Monday, Tuesday, and 2 hours then Wednesday to Friday. No weekend help, no night help, no anything. So Greg, our family at the stage is completely maxed. Yeah, we don't know what else to do. Mum's in hospital here. I'm actually here with Mummy at the minute. She's an elderly lady. She's in hospital now this past 3 weeks. And because she's elderly, we don't believe her. So we're doing 24 shifts, night shifts here in hospital with Mum. And we're not as available as we were even to help Brendan and Olivia at the moment. God, we're under a lot of pressure.
You're spread incredibly thin because of all the responsibilities.
Very, very much so.
In terms of getting extra care, is the only option for the family to try and fund it themselves? And I know a little bit about this, and I know the cost of it, and it's incredibly expensive. But is that the only option, or?
At this stage, we have been offered, because we can get no more help, apparently, we're not getting it. But at this stage, they did say they'll fund us 25 hours in the week.
Okay.
To go out and employ the carers ourselves.
So which where means, would you Greg, even know? Where would you even know where to look?
This is a problem. This is a huge problem. I have been doing almost like spokesperson, or maybe not spokesperson, but I've been trying to help Ren and Olivia all along.
Yeah.
And I've been trying to fight their case and speak to nurses and whatever it may be. Now, this is the next stage. I just don't know where to start. Going down, interviewing and call, ringing people about getting help. It's not our field. Oh. You know, it's just so hard to know what we're supposed to do here.
And that's even if you can find the time to do that. I just don't understand. I can't understand when someone is so debilitated by this awful disease that they're not treated like others might because they're under 65. I don't see why the age is a factor here. It shouldn't be a factor. There's probably not enough supports as is, but you should be able to be getting whatever supports are available there that Olivia would be able to avail of if she was 66, for an example.
That's great. This is the thing that our family can't take on board. Mm-hmm. And the name of heaven, Olivia is so debilitated. Much more debilitated than Mommy. Like, a Mommy's an elderly lady. Mm. She needs so, so much help. It's unbelievable. And how they can dismiss it by saying she's under the age of 65. I feel strongly the HSE or this country is definitely neglecting the likes of Olivia. Or I can strongly say that she's been neglected. Strongly, yeah.
Listen, we're going to make any inquiries that we can. And if anyone contacts us who's been down this road before and can assist just in terms of identifying carers, because as you say, you know, you're effectively supposed to do the role of the HSE, identify, like, what qualifications would a nurse in this particular field need? How would any person without the experience know that? So we're going to try and hopefully get some help for you in relation to that, some listeners' help. Someone hopefully will know what the story is, Ailish, and make the inquiries as to why this lady who is debilitated, and poor Brendan as well, trying to juggle everything, the emotional side of it, to see the love of his life deteriorating so rapidly, but also maybe, I presume, some farming interests that need to be looked after, and to get sleep and to be able to just switch off for an hour. He just doesn't have that from what I'm hearing. And then the knock-on effect for the rest of the family, because you want to do everything, Ailish, but simply you can't, especially when you're sharing out responsibilities of being with your mum. It's so tough for you all.
It is. You've just said exactly how it is. That's exactly... Brendan is nursing Olivia 24/7. and he is maxed. He doesn't begrudge it, don't get me wrong. He excellent, excellent with her. But
you can only ask so much of one human being. I don't care how strong or resilient they are. You can only go down to that well so many times.
Absolutely, Greg. That is so, so true. So true.
Right, leave it with us, Eilish. I don't want this to be our only contact, OK? I don't know what we can do. We certainly can try and get some answers. I want to put some of these questions directly to a person in, to justify it, because it's important to me that someone who stands over this decision justifies that and explains it in a very clear and cohesive way. So we're going to try and do that, and then hopefully maybe we might get something in as it relates to the qualifications that required, the availability, and others, to hopefully avail of that 25 hours of care, which is not a lot, folks. It really isn't. But Eilish, listen, stay strong, passing our love to Olivia and to Rob as well and the rest of the family, okay? And we'll stay
thank
in touch
you very
with
much,
you
Greg.
Okay.
Thank you very much, and we will appreciate any help or any advice anybody can give
Understood.
Us at this time. Thank
I get
you.
That, Eilish.
Thank
not,
you, Greg.
Not on your own emotionally anyway, even though it might feel like it at the moment. Take care of yourself, please, and best wishes
thank
to your
you
mum
as
well.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks very much for that. We'll follow up that tomorrow, but we are going now. We'll see you tomorrow morning at 9. John Breslin is next around the Northwest.